Well, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, we did finish a series, of course, in the book of Jude. We're in it quite a few months. Then we spoke last week on the nightingale. It isn't mentioned in Scripture, but it sings songs in the night. In the prayer meeting, we've been, over the last maybe month, considering some birds in Scripture. And this morning, in Jeremiah, chapter 8, and verse 7, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. And then he mentions the turtle dove, the crane, the swallow. They observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Let us look to him in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these lessons, even from creation, nature around us. And O Lord, help us to picture the scene, to see how these birds condemn us, and the contrast there are here between human behavior and the wise behavior of the stork. And so we commit our study unto thee. Guide us, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. I picture the prophet Jeremiah sitting outside on a day such as today, and that we've had the last few days, and maybe you've done this. You've sat outside and you've daydreamed. I can picture Jeremiah just sitting in that lovely sunshine, blue sky, and he looks up into the sky, and he sees up in the sky a flock of birds. He notices the long legs trailing behind them, and the long neck sticking out. And even though they're high up in the heaven, because there's another verse tells us storks fly high in the heavens, he recognizes that they're storks, and he begins to think. Because remember, God speaks through creation. Of course, we need the revelation of God's word to understand who God is and to apply the lessons of his power. But yet, when we have the Bible, spiritual truth, birds do teach us spiritual lessons. Moses referred to birds, eagle for instance. The psalmist often referred to the habits of birds. Prophets referred to birds. The Lord Jesus Christ often used birds as examples. And indeed, all Christians ought to be twitchers. Just thinking there, I'm speaking last night. I met a man I hadn't seen in a number of years. I know him, Jim Wales. I should have said to him, are you still twitching? Because you may know, if you know Jim Wales, he is an avid twitcher. For some years, he worked for the Society for Birds. A twitcher, by the way, is an ornithologist, a bird watcher. Don't mean somebody that twitches with a twitch in their face. A twitcher is the word for a bird watcher. A bird watcher. And Christians ought to be bird watchers. Now, I'm not saying you have to become an avid hobby following them, the way Jim Wells and others do, out with the binoculars and their waders and, well, going out very early in the morning. I'm afraid that's not for me. But anyway, some really get into it, but all of us ought to be bird watchers, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, consider the birds. He told us we ought to consider the fowls of the air. And we ought to think of what spiritual lessons they bring to us. And as Jeremiah looked up, and I believe he saw them flying overhead. You see why when we get into the passage. He sees a flock of them flying overhead, and he begins to think. And he has been a prophet condemning the people and warning them to flee from their sin and flee back to God. And they've rejected and rejected and rejected. And then he said, judgment is coming. And what he's basically saying is, these stork that fly overhead, they're a condemnation of the people of Israel. And that's what he means here in our text. Yes, or yea, the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. They know their appointed times, but the end of the verse, my people know not, they don't know the judgment of the Lord. You know, there's a very rude, would you say, slang against somebody, you're a bird brain. I'm not saying call anybody that, but I've sometimes heard that, people when they, you know nothing, you're just a bird brain. You know, like a little tiny brain, like a bird. But you know what God is saying here? You think you're wise, verse 9. And in verse 8, how do you say we are wise? You human beings in Israel think you're so wise, but the stork is wiser. That's the point he's making. As he sees those storks flying overhead, he's saying, you know, those birds are wiser than the people to whom I have been ministering these years and warning them, because those birds obey. They know the appointed time and they know what they ought to do. They're wiser. In other words, what he's talking about is the homing instinct in the bird. Of course, we know about pigeons, the homing instinct they have, but this is the migratory habits. How the birds will fly from a distance. And storks, you see, when it comes towards autumn time, storks, the scientists tell us, will fly from away up in the northern part of Europe and the northern part of Asia. And the scientists will tell you, and those who write, those ornithologists, that they head together these flocks of stork and they come towards the land of Israel across the Bosphorus and Turkey, and they head down that land of, we know as Israel, and they head down there over the Nile Valley and on down into Africa to spend the winter. Because if they stay in the northern parts of Europe, they'll die with the cold. And God has put within those birds, and this is amazing, even newly hatched birds that have never been in Africa, and yet there's that strange homing instinct within those stork that at a certain time they head off and they migrate. That's the miracle. Or let's bring it closer home. The Brent geese that come to Strangford Lough, they come every autumn. I don't know if any of you go out and watch them and say, oh, the Brent geese are here. You know, it was last year, the year before, on October the 13th, was World Census Day for Brent geese. And do you know, in our Strangford Lough, they counted 22,270 Brent geese were in Strangford Lough on October the 13th. With all these avid bird watchers out counting them on the one day. And they fly all the way from Canada. And they stop on the way Iceland to refuel. And then they take off again. And they come to Strangford Lough to spend the winter. Now, does not prove ours is a lovely place. Hope you tell your friends that. George and Kathleen, you've come to the right place from Melbourne. I tell you, we're in a lovely place in ours. This is where Brent geese can't be wrong. They can't fly all that way and be wrong to come here to winter. 75% of the population of Brent geese fly over to Strangford Lough as their home for the winter. That's the idea here that he's talking about here. And what he's saying is, first of all, the condemnation of the people. Jeremiah in this verse is really saying, look, you say you know. That's the point in this verse. You claim to know the judgment of the Lord in verse 7. You claim to know spiritual truth, but you don't. You don't. Oh, they know it in their head. They know it intellectually. And oh, there's so many could repeat to you the gospel message, could repeat the gospel hymns, could quote verses of scripture they've memorized. You know the gospel. You know prepare to meet thy God. You know you must be in time. You know it intellectually. But you don't really know the appointed time emotionally or volitionally. In other words, the will. You don't know it by experience because you haven't obeyed it. It says here about the people, no man repented of their wickedness. In verse 4, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall they turn away and not return? He's saying, look, people, when they fall down, get up. But you don't. You don't. In verse 5, why are you slidden back with a perpetual backsliding? They refuse to return. They just won't do it. They refuse to return. Do you know that centuries later, in the very same city, the greatest prophet of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached to the inhabitants of Jerusalem in his day, just as Jeremiah had preached in his day. And he told the people to come. He invited them to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He warned about judgment, but they didn't come. They didn't come. And in Luke 9 and 44, he said, you didn't know the day of your visitation. You didn't know. Now, you told them. It wasn't that they didn't know it in the sense of hearing the message, but they didn't obey it. Exactly the same situation as Jeremiah 8. Exactly. Now, if it was true in Jeremiah's day, and it was true in Christ's day, it's true in 2017. There's people have been warned that there's a judgment, there's a hail. And you think of a bird, such a bird analogy, it just washes off them like water off a duck's back. Doesn't register. They don't know it. And there, Jeremiah is using the example of a stork, and he's saying, those stork who, when they know the appointed time and they fly away to Africa to escape the judgment, or if you like, the cold, the symbol of judgment, the freezing to death, they escape in time. The people to whom Jeremiah had spoken, they're so stubborn. They just are refusing to come, and he uses the illustration of the stork. Do you know the Lord in the same city? Centuries later, used the illustration of a bird, not the stork, but a hen. He said to the inhabitants, how often would I have gathered you as a mother hen doth gather her chickens under his wings? In other words, to protect you from the judgment. But you wouldn't. You wouldn't come. You see how the storks condemn humans? Can you see how the Brent geese coming here to visit Strangford Loch every winter to stay alive for their safety? They condemn people in Newton Ards who haven't yet trusted Christ. They know the way. Maybe somebody here this morning, you know you need to be saved, but you've never come. Those Brent geese, they condemn you. They condemn you. Ah, but believer, it speaks to us as well. You see, the idea of those stork, they're up here, let's say, North America, North Europe, and they realize they have to go south. Sad instinct. Now they can't go west or east or north. They have to go in a certain direction. They have to turn around. They go south. See, those birds are an example of what the Bible calls repentance. Repentance. What is repentance? Well, repentance is more than contrition, feeling sorry for our sin, that now that's involved. But repentance isn't just feeling sorry for our sin. There were people in Scripture who felt sorry, but they were never truly repented in the sense of evangelical repentance. It's not even confession of sin, because there are people in the Bible who said, I have sinned, but they never truly repented. Repentance is linked with faith. Christ came preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He finished his ministry by preaching repentance. The Apostle Peter in early Acts, he preached, repent, turn. Paul preached in Acts 13 to Jew and Gentile to repentance and faith in Christ. Acts 17, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. But repentance and faith go together. They're two sides of the one coin, if you like. You cannot have true repentance without faith in Christ. And do you know, you cannot have true faith in Christ without repentance. They're linked. And I'll prove that to you. You search through the book of John, the Gospel of John, you'll not find the word repentance. Does that mean John didn't believe you needed to repent? Of course he believed you need to repent. It's the teaching of God's word. But when he cries, believe, that's John's key word. You cannot believe in Christ and have faith in him unless you repent. You see, true repentance is more than confession of sin or conviction of sin or contrition for sin. It's a change. You think of those birds, the stork. They might be flying around getting food up in North Europe. One's flying to the east here. But that instinct comes upon them. It's time to fly south. They have to turn around. And they have to head in that direction. When the Bible speaks about repentance, it says we have to turn from ourselves. We have to turn from trust in ourselves. We have to return from sin. We have to turn for everything that's against God. Turn away from it. Ah, but you're to turn to Christ. Faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. Have you repented? Do you learn from the stork? It has to change course and head the course for Africa. It turns from, turns towards. Have you repented and had faith in Christ? That's the initial conversion. But do you know the Christian life is a whole series of repentings? You don't just repent once. You need to repent. We cry out as Christ did to be saved, to be converted, to be in heaven. You need to repent from all trust in yourself that I'm a sinner. Only Christ can save me. That's evangelical repentance. But
is the Christian life. Continual repentance. We think this morning of the Lord's table. Oh, I think one of the purposes of the Lord's table is we examine ourselves. What I mean is, have I been as faithful? And the Holy Spirit shows us things in our life. Because although we're saved, we're justified, we're His people, we still fail. So there has to be that continual turning from things that Scripture tells us are wrong and turning back to Christ. The stork condemns us. But then I want to think for a few moments of the contrast with the stork, the contrast. You see, do you know the stork knows where to go? Where to go? And isn't this amazing? How could a newly hatched bird just born up in North Europe somewhere know how to get to Africa? I know some people get lost within a few miles of their home. I know some people got lost going to Market Hill to our presbytery. I'll not repeat his name, but anyway, one of our ministers, nowhere around here, but anyway, said I got lost getting here. And then some people trust in the sat nav and that brings you the long place too. So easy to, but that little bird, the stork knows, even young ones. God works that miracle of migration and they head south, they know. And yet Jeremiah's point is here to the people, you should know in your mind the Lord. He's the only answer. And I'm sure there's not anybody here, but you know that Christ is the only answer and you must come to Him. You know it intellectually. But have you come? The bird knows where to go. In chapter 2 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah said the people have forsaken the fountains of living water for broken cisterns. And there's passages in Scripture that picture those who know not Christ as seeking here and seeking there and looking everywhere for pleasure. And you think of people in the world today and how prevalent it is. And we could give example after example of the multimillionaires, the pop stars, the film stars. Not all of them, but some of them who have sought satisfaction and popularity in these things. And you read their life and it's how tragic, because they get to the top of the ladder. There's no satisfaction. No satisfaction. They've headed in the wrong direction. They need to repent and turn to Christ. Those little birds know where to go. Where to go. Some turn to alcohol, to drugs, to so many things. And yet none but Christ can satisfy. How we need to say that. And then when people do get burdened about their need of salvation, what happens? So many head to the wrong place. Just as Martin Luther did for those early years of his life, he headed to the idea of what the church told him, of what religion did, of ritual, of rules, of his own righteousness. But you see, we're to go to God through Christ. Do you go to Him? Have you come to Him as your Savior? You see, our place is a person. A person. Do you know where to go? Do you know the way to go? Again, isn't it amazing how these birds, the way to go? By the way, there's other birds that go even further than the stork. There's one species of bird goes 22,000 miles from up towards the North Pole down to near the South every year. 22,000 miles. And some of us get tired flying to London on a plane. 22. How could it ever find its way? It knows the way to go, for God has put in their mind the way to go. That's what we're saying. The way to go. And in the upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saying, I'm going away. But one day you will be with me where I am. And of course, Abel said, but Lord, we don't know where you're going. And we don't know the way. The Lord answered, I am the way. I am the way. The way is Christ. The way is Christ. It's amazing. The ornithologists say that just over the land we know as Israel is what's called a flyway. A flyway. So many birds go that way, fly over it, the flyway. You see, the only way to God is Christ. Now, that's very intolerant to this world society. More and more, we will be in trouble. I mentioned at the prayer meeting, I'll not take the time this morning, of that police officer. Last week, newspapers are attacking him. They actually listened to his sermons and sermon audio and saying he's a serving policeman. How dare he say in a sermon, he's a deacon, that it's only Christ. Imagine that. Journalist taking the trouble of listening to his sermon and sermon audio to get attacking him. And then he wrote in his Facebook that he was against gay marriage. Oh, you can't do that as a serving police. Oh, this is terrible. He needs to be disciplined. Put in on your Facebook that you're oh no, this is terrible. Assistant Chief Constable put out, no, we support the gay pride or the police pride association and so on. Amazing. Well, we're more and more, if we say the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, that's so intolerant to people. Of course it's not, it's scriptural. We come to God through Christ. There is no other way. And it's through Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. You have to come through Christ. He is the only way, the pathway of confession, the pathway of repentance, the pathway of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him. But you know what I was amazed, and I was reading this about the stork, and it was a real blessing. But you know what I read? You know why they fly over Israel? Now again, I just read it, I don't understand it all. They say that there's one bird can fly over sea 2,000 miles. It's very, very strong wings. A stork doesn't have strong wings compared to some other birds. Maybe you this morning say, I know I need to come to Christ, but I feel so weak. I don't know how to come to Christ. I just feel of no strength. Well, here's the good news. You know why the storks, the scientists say, fly over Israel? It's a thing called thermals of winds. It's to do with the heat on the land. And there's this wind. It produces winds. And those winds help the bird when it's tired with its weak wings. And those winds help the bird, the storks along as they're flying that long journey. The wind is helping them. And when I read that, oh, you know what I thought if you're a believer. Oh, we feel so weak. And we say, Lord, I've wandered far away from you. And I just feel I just can't come back, whether you're saved or unsaved. Unsaved, you need to come initially and trust him. But even as believers, do you wander away? How can I get back? Oh, call out, blessed wind of the Holy Spirit, help me. Blessed wind of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, come and work in my life. Come and draw me after Christ. Come and show me Christ. Come and give me the strength. Oh, Spirit of love, descend, come in our midst, we pray. And like a rushing mighty wind, sweep o'er our souls today. Pray that. Do you find you've wandered away from God? Was there a time when the Lord seemed closer to you, when Christ seemed more real, when you seemed to be in more fellowship with him? Well, call on the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And I looked up migration. Came across an interesting article. I had to look at it a few times because I understood that butterflies only live for a week or two. But there's what's called the monarch butterfly. It lives for 9 months. And you know, it travels over 2,000 miles from Canada. In fact, there's so many of them gather, it says that they gather together, that some of the limbs of the trees where they gather in the same place, the same mountain every year, thousands of them, the branches are beginning to weigh down, so many butterflies. And they fly, blackening the sky, all the way to Mexico. And that's where they lay eggs and so on. And the scientists for years have been trying to discover how do they know where to go. How can they find their way from Canada to Mexico? They don't have a road map or a sat-nav. And according to the article I read, it said they've discovered that somehow they use the sun like a compass. And it's to do with the sun's rays, because I'll not go into the details, but they've done experiments, blackening out little sensors and so on, antennas that they have. But they said it's the sun. The sun guides them. I thought of Malachi. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. What is the way? It's repentance, confession, asking the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to look to Christ. You know, those stork know where to go. They know the way to go. But it says there in our text, the appointed times, they know when to go. When to go. There's a certain time up in North Europe, and there's a stirring. The birds have been feeding there for quite a few months. But suddenly, they get this instinct. God created, of course. We have to migrate. Oh, I know they don't think about it the way. Of course, they don't have souls or minds, but there's that within them.
And they head towards Africa and they go because if they delay, if they wait, if they don't follow that urge within them to go, winter could come, the winds could come, the freeze could come, and they'll never get away, they'll die. That's the point that Jeremiah's making here. They know when to go. And yet he had been preaching and preaching and preaching to the people, repent, repent, turn to the Lord, leave your worship of the host of heaven and all in the first verses. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't turn. And it was too late. See, what Jeremiah is saying in chapter 8 is this, you're too late. You're too late. Your gold bones are going to be left in the open air. Babylon's coming. You're too late. You can't get away now. Oh, what a terrible, terrible scene, too late. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 19 to the people. He wept. By the way, if you run your eye over to chapter 9, verse 1 of Jeremiah, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears. Do you see that? Jeremiah weeps because he realizes the people have left it too late. There's no salvation for them. The summer's passed. They're not saved. That's in chapter 8. There is no hope. They've gone too far. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke 19, he wept. He wept. And he said, you didn't know your appointed time. You didn't know your day of visitation. And one stone's not to be left upon another. What he meant was, the Romans are coming and they came in AD 70. And the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And all the inhabitants were put to the sword. Judgment. The stork knows where to go. The way to go. When to go. Jeremiah said, you people didn't. Oh, you heard it in your mind, but you didn't. Brent Geese, same thing. Oh, that it would sink in this morning if you don't know Christ. If you're out in a summer day like this, and you see birds, a flock of them, or if you see the Brent Geese, maybe you'll be looking out for them now in the autumn, looking in the local paper, have they come yet? 22,000 of them on average every year come to our Strangford Lock. May God remind us we have to come. We have to keep returning to Christ. Keep returning to Christ. They went. They went. Do you feel the pull of the Spirit this morning if you're not saved? You don't know Christ. You've never trusted him. You know the gospel. You've heard it. Listen, is there no pull? Is there no urge this morning by the Holy Spirit? Well, cry out to the blessed wind of the Spirit to blow upon you this morning. Look to Christ. Come to him. Those who are saved know the Lord. Are there areas in our life we need to return? We need to repent. Turn to the Lord. I think of Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Peter was a believer, but he'd got away from the Lord. He came back. May God cause us to be as wise as the stork or the Brent geese. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we think of the object lesson that is so vivid, so obvious that these birds migrate. And yet, Lord, we've been commanded and invited to come to Christ. Christ has suffered. He's died. As we think of the cross and we think of his dying love and we think of his precious blood that was shed to redeem, oh, Lord, may it cause us to be ashamed of our going our own way. And, Lord, may the spiritual sight of our Savior's sufferings lead us to turn to Christ. To come to him. Bless those who must go. Remain with those that remain around thy table. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.